this. So you're going to want to position the body in a posture that you can hold still without having to move. But not having to move is actually a feedback mechanism. The untrained mind has a tendency just to adjust the body whenever the posture is uncomfortable. In order to prevent the mind from doing that, you have to be present in the moment. We don't actually initiate much from the conscious mind, but we do have the capacity to veto. So if you're present and the little red button lights up, I'm about to take an action and you don't want to take it, you can veto that action. So essentially, staying present, or that is to say, staying still and not moving requires you to be present in the moment. So the act of not moving the body reinforces present moment awareness. The not moving also allows for greater sensory clarity of sensation in the body. Since a lot of the inquiry is around sensation in the body, the not moving helps that as well. Finding a good sitting posture is very useful. You want to be able to sit for longer periods of time, allowing the mind to quiet down and to see what you're exploring in insight practice. So in order to sit well for long periods of time, you need to find a way to balance the body so you use the least amount of muscle power. The muscles are going to get tired and achy over time, requiring you to move. So essentially what you're doing is finding a way to stack one vertebrae on top of the other and just balancing, using the least amount of muscle power and allowing the rest of the body basically to hang off that straightened spine. Relax. Then trying to remember a good posture that you found so that you can find it again easily the next time you sit, and in this way over time refining your sitting posture. Always a good idea to do a quick inventory of the body as part of the settling in process so you can relax the body and maybe make some subtle adjustments to the posture that you find helpful. So starting at the top of the head, relax the scalp, the brow, the eyes, the face. Let the jaw go slack, relaxing the tongue. Straighten the spine, balancing the head. Relax the shoulders. Just let the arms hang down, arranging the hands comfortably. If you're sitting in a chair, plant your feet so you have a good solid base. And if you're sitting on a bench or a cushion, arrange the legs so that they'll be comfortable for the period of sitting. Just let the breath go in and out as it will, no effort to control it. We're going to be examining the elements of sensory experience that come together to form the experience of self. So when all of these elements come together in a particular pattern that we recognize as the experience of self, it forms this duality that we were talking about earlier. When we experience them just as elements with equanimity, the duality doesn't tend to form. So bring your awareness into the body, looking for a pattern of experience which represents the effects of gravity on the body. So this will be a weightiness, a heaviness, a pressure. If you're sitting in a chair, you'll notice it on the bottom of your feet, your butt. If you're leaning back into the chair, on your back. Each time you take a breath, you'll notice it. Sitting on a cushion, there'll be a pattern that's recognizable as gravity, but it's different than the one that you notice sitting in a chair. What are the effects of gravity on the body? Now, bring your awareness to the pattern of experience which represents temperature. What you may begin to notice is that the sensations themselves are remarkably similar. It's just that they form in a different pattern. And one pattern is recognized as gravity, and another pattern is recognized as temperature. You may also notice that the pattern of experience that represents the temperature of the skin covered by clothing is slightly different than the skin exposed to air, yet both of them are easily recognizable as the experience of temperature. In fact, if you look in small places over the body, there are many experiences of temperature, and they may all be slightly different, but you still recognize them. So the mind is incredibly good at recognizing patterns. So now, bring your awareness to the pattern of sensory experience which represents respiration, breathing. This is a complex pattern. You may notice the diaphragm contracting, the muscles of the ribcage relaxing, there is a pressure of a vacuum in the lungs, air is drawn in through the nose and mouth. You can detect the temperature of the air, whether it's moist or dry. You notice that the chest begins to lift. You notice that the pressure of the vacuum begins to dissipate. As the lungs fill completely, the pressure of the vacuum dissipates completely. There may or may not be a pause between each side of the breath. And then the diaphragm relaxes. The muscles around the ribcage contract. There's a sudden pressure of full lungs having the air pushed out of them. The air that's exhaled is warmer, moister than the air that was drawn in. The pressure of the full lungs dissipates as they empty. As they empty fully, the pressure dissipates completely. There may or may not be a pause between the sides of the breath, and then the cycle repeats again as the diaphragm contracts. Now, bring your awareness to the pattern of sensation which makes up circulation. The heart beating, blood flowing outward, blood returning. If you've instructed the mind over and over again not to include this information into consciousness, you may not be aware of the heart beating or the sensory experience of the blood flowing, but I assure you that experience is happening. Bringing your attention to it sometimes can bring it into consciousness, particularly the heart beating, although it can be quite challenging to be able to detect the sensory experience of the blood flowing. It isn't that there isn't a sensory experience of the blood flowing. It's that it's not included in consciousness. Any experience that over and over again we decide is unimportant to know about simply does not enter consciousness. But if you repeatedly request awareness of it, you may notice that it enters consciousness. And suddenly you go from not noted, not knowing, to knowing. Even though the bit rate of consciousness is very small, it's not fixed. So you can change the information that's routinely given to you consciously. Now bring your awareness to the pattern of sensation which makes up the experience of digestion. You've eaten recently, you may notice the stomach churning, there may be pressure in the intestines as food is moved through. Maybe there's pressure from gas building up. But you may have no awareness of this. Again, all of these types of sensations which are so ordinary, we simply exclude from consciousness because the bandwidth is so narrow. But if we inquire, you may find that awareness of it is allowed into consciousness. And now see if you can detect the pattern of sensation which is the efforting to hold the posture. So in our bodies, many sets of muscles are paired. One contracts, one relaxes. It's how we locomote around. Even sitting with good balance, some muscles are going to be contracted, some are going to be relaxed. Can you detect that efforting? These six experiences, gravity, temperature, respiration, circulation, digestion, and the efforting to hold the posture, they'll use the single generic label feel out to represent. Keeping awareness in the body, excluding all of those sensations, look for emotional experience in the body. Could be the base emotions, anger, fear, sadness, disgust, contempt, surprise, happiness. Could be complex emotions. So base emotions are typically generated by the brainstem. And then there's a reactivity to that experience generated by the prefrontal cortex. And these can be quite complex and varied individual to individual depending on your conditioning, love, joy, bliss, humor, interest, loneliness, longing, guilt, shame, regret, remorse, and so on. All of these experiences are made out of the same basic sensations arranged in slightly different patterns. Recognize one pattern from the other and know one experience to be joy and one to be sorrow. Emotion related to the present moment tends to play out on the surface of the body, the face, the front of the throat, the front of the torso, the inside of the arms, the inside of the legs. And this is because what emotion really is the body preparing to take action in response to circumstances in the present moment. We notice the physical changes and the pattern of those changes forms a particular perception of emotion. So you may find that sitting here now in a safe and peaceful place, that there isn't a lot of emotional activity. So if you don't detect anything, that actually may be an accurate representation. So, whereas with the feel-out sensations, they're always present. The feel-in sensations, which we're going to call emotion, may or may not be present at any given moment. You may also be aware of emotional centers which are deeper in the body. These tend to be in a stable location of a particular size and shape, of an individual flavor of emotional experience. And they tend to present with a contractive energetic quality or a weightiness, a heaviness, a constriction. the emotion related to the present moment on the surface of the body tends to be vibratory in its energetic quality and pass through rather quickly. The emotional centers deeper in the body tend to have a much longer life. So all of this experience, whether it's the present moment emotional experience or the emotional centers, we'll use the single generic label feel in to represent. Now, bring your awareness to internal visual thinking. So for most people, this is centered at the eyes, in front of or slightly behind the eyes. Working with memory, planning, and fantasy, there tends to be a mental screen where visual thinking is projected, a blank screen which is light or dark or modulating between the two. If you have trouble locating it, intentionally think of a person, a place, or an object, and see if you can detect a visual thinking response to the thought. Mental screen where you experience memory, planning, and fantasy. Let go of that and see if you can detect the internal visual thinking experience which represents the outline of the body in its current position. So for most people, this is a view that's centered inside the head or at the eyes looking down into the body. A dark center with a glowy outline perhaps. What it is an assemblage the mind makes out of image reaction to local sensation in the body, or a way of knowing in visual thinking how the body is currently positioned. Don't fret too much if you don't have good sensory clarity for this. It may be a request you haven't had before. Just try and explore it. Now, see if you can detect in visual thinking space the location of the body in its current environment. It may be useful to briefly open and close the eyes, looking for an after image. One aspect of visual thinking is the location of the body in its current environment. See if you can detect it. Now, see if you can detect the image reaction to local sensation in the body. Try, for instance, wiggling the toes on your left foot. Do you have an image in the mind of your left foot, the toes wiggling? Now try wiggling the fingers on your right hand. Do you have an image of your right hand with the fingers moving? And now see if you can find an image reaction to exterior sound. Perhaps the sound of my voice creates the image of me at the front of the room. Perhaps the sound of the car that just went by triggered an image of the street outside. Perhaps the tweeting of the bird creates the image of a bird. So these five aspects of internal visual thinking, memory, planning, fantasy, the outline of the body, the location of the body in its current environment, image reaction to local sensation in the body, and image reaction to exterior sound, we'll use the single generic label, see in, to represent. Now move your awareness slightly backwards inside the head to the place where you experience internal auditory thinking. So for most people, this is inside the head, between the ears, or actually at the ears, the place where you hear clear talk of the mind. Clear talk is the words in the mind that you can actually understand their meaning. It can be helpful to intentionally think of a phrase and see geographically where it's located, where the experience of it is located. Listening to the sound of my voice, often the internal auditory thinking process is located in the same place that you experience external sound. So that also may be a help. As you pay attention to internal auditory thinking, sometimes simply placing your focus there quiets it down. The otherwise constant chatter seems to vanish. But as you pay attention, you may also notice a subtle vibratory activity, which is another component of internal auditory thinking. If you really dive into it, you may notice that the cognition, the knowing what the clear talk will be, precedes actually the arising of clear talk. Sometimes there's a sympathetic activity in the larynx. So there's a subtle vibration in the larynx which matches the vibration in internal auditory thinking. Another way to detect it if you don't notice it. But again, it's a matter of sensory clarity. You can begin to develop an awareness of these more subtle aspects of experience simply by focusing on them, learning them. So these aspects, the clear talk of the subtle vibration, will use the single generic label herein to represent. So we have four domains of experience: feel out the touch sensations, feel in the emotional sensations, see in the visual thinking sensations, and hear in the auditory thinking sensations. We're going to let our awareness freely move between these four domains, developing a rhythmic noting strategy. So a rhythmic noting strategy is deciding on the interval, and at each moment that the interval has arrived, noticing where your awareness has been drawn and noting it. So noting is to know what the experience is and to have the experience of it. So as you let your awareness freely move, if it's drawn to visual thinking, space, any aspect, you have the experience of the visual thinking, and you know that that's visual thinking. It can be useful to intentionally create a label. The label would be CN. It's not necessary, but it often helps foster concentration. I like to note at the end of every out-breath, because the breath acts as a kind of metronome. If you find that you get pulled away into thinking in a more frequent noting, it's useful. Perhaps note both the out-breath and the in-breath. So the out-breath and in-breath act as a clock. Wherever your awareness is in that moment, you note where your awareness is. I'll do a little out loud as a demonstration. See in, feel in, feel out, feel out, feel out. See in, feel in. Feel in. Feel in. Feel in. So exterior sound and exterior sight are excluded. If you find that you get pulled away into thinking, as soon as you recognize it, just return to the object of meditation, which is noting, feel out, feel in, see in, hear in, and begin the process again. If your awareness finds a sensation particularly fascinating and sticks with it, you'll be noting the same thing over and over again. That's perfectly fine. You can also nudge it if you think that's a better approach. And explore the whole area. Whatever works. Now we're going to add a level of investigation to the technique, continuing to do it the same as you're doing it now, letting your awareness be drawn to whatever sensory activity is interesting, and then rhythmically noting it. We're going to add a layer of exploration. In that particular arising of sensory experience, where is the self? So if your awareness is drawn to visual thinking, an aspect of it, where in that aspect of visual thinking is the experience of self? The mind is drawn into the body to the effect of gravity on the body. In that experience of gravity, where is the experience of self? You're drawn to an arising of an emotional response. Where in that particular arising of emotional experience is the sense of self? Continuing to note the four, feel out, feel in, see in, hear in, with the overlay of an investigation into the experience of self. noting the four domains, feel out, feel in, see in, hear in, rhythmically, with the overlay of the investigation into where in each discrete experience of sensory arising is the self. So any comments or questions about that? Who found the self? No one?
I found it.
You did? Where was it?
It was in increments.
Increments.
Here, there. The touch of my clothing against my shoulders brought
a sense of self. Sense of self. Good. Anyone else?
I found an analysis of how I construct the self. I didn't say it was the self. And all those different elements, like how I use them, I could see that. I couldn't see where the self resided because I could only see how I manifested it with respect. And that experience with, you know, with the outer, the inner, the vision.
Mm-hmm. Good insight.
Uh-huh. I have the strongest sense of self when I have a see-in experience and respond to the see-in.
See-in it and feel-in at the same time.
Yeah.
Good. Good insight.
Uh-huh. I noticed that my sense of self was constantly fluctuating.
Nice. In some sense, as householders, it's like a dimmer switch, I like to think. Sometimes the sense of self is very bright, sometimes it's very dim. We almost never have an experience of the absence of it as householders, bopping around.
Beyond that, I would say that I noticed that I use certain sensations to turn it up and other ones to turn it down.
Oh, nice. But it's not just there. Anybody find it?
I don't know. I have to say, almost every sensation I notice has a sense of familiarity.
Uh-huh.
That I would call, I suppose, the sense of self. It was a, you know, I've had this feeling before so many times.
Right. It's a very narrow band of sensory experience
yeah.
that we have.
But I would say that I wasn't having insights about it. I just didn't notice that everything, all of those modalities, had that sense of familiarity, which I would say is something.
And in a discrete arising, where was the sense of self? Or was it always a pattern that formed out of multiple sensory modalities?
Well, even the sensation seems rather complex. So, you know, some sensation and the sensation has a sense of familiarity, and the pictures and the words.
So you bring up a very interesting point. We have to be really careful about this. The mind maps everything. And it takes a lot of calories, brain calories, to map something. So if the mind can just use an old map without having to regenerate it, it will do that. When I teach in LA, I take colored tape and I make big patterns on the back wall of the Zendo. And then I ask everybody to tell me what it is. And usually about two-thirds of the class can't tell me because their mind never created it. They just walked into the room and used an old image of the room as if that's what it was. So you have to get out of that habit and train the mind to remap everything. Otherwise, you could walk into a room and be using an old map and not be able to tell the difference. Have you ever walked into a room and said to somebody, "Oh, you got a new rug?" And they say, "Yes, we got a new rug 6 months ago. You've been here 20 times." That is because you saw the old room, not because you didn't notice it.
I just had an interesting experience during the meditation. Like, for the first time, I didn't hear any words. You know, it's like I wasn't thinking, and I really, like, as far as self, like, I couldn't experience myself at all. Like, I was just caught in the, like, I don't know, sensing the sense in, sense out, and all that kind of stuff. But for the first time, I wasn't, like, telling myself a story about anything that I was experiencing.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And where was your level of suffering?
I know. It was very comfortable. Just my feet were going so excited.
So you can get that awareness has no sense, no suffering. The formation of self comes with suffering. If you notice that you're suffering greatly, it's because you've identified with a pattern of experience which creates the experience of self, and that you can step out and just see the experience of that in its elements, these little discrete experiences that come together and form the pattern of self. So a particular pattern of sensory experience forms, we believe that that's the sense of self, and we're engaged in the activity of suffering. If we can notice the arising of a particular pattern of sensory experience but remain in awareness, watching that consciousness arise, there's very little suffering, even though angry self may arise, or frustrated self may arise, or abandoned self may arise.